Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, to start out this new year of 2012, this month, we've been talking about walking with the Lord. And we remember what it says in Micah chapter 6. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wants for us in our lives. And so far, we've seen that God wants us to walk with Him in the present day, knowing that our past is covered by His cross and forgiveness. We don't have to worry about that. Our future is covered by His promises. We don't have to worry about that. We are free to walk with Him in the day, letting the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. So God wants us to walk with Him in the present. And last week, we learned about how God gives us a joyful walk with Him because of we know His great care for us, that we're of more value than many sparrows. And today, in this last sermon in the series, I'd like to look with you at the calm and confidence that God wants us to have with Him in our walk with God, knowing that He has plans for us, that He has mapped out a life for us, that He is indeed a good leader who will lead us through our life in such a way that when we get to the end of it and arrive at our final destination in heaven, His will have been accomplished fully in us and His plans for us entirely fulfilled as we follow Him. So I want to talk with you today about this question. And I'll ask it right now. Does God indeed have a plan specifically for your life? Does He have a will? Well, I guess I don't have to preach today, do I? You already know the answer. Okay. Well, let's, there is some debate on this and some ambiguity. Does He really know specifically each thing He has for us to lead us in, to do? Well, let me first explain why this is important for us to know the answer. Why to know that He has a plan for us. Well, once I was up in Maine, sailing on one of the schooners, and we came in to pick up some passengers at an island called North Haven. And it was a very, very foggy day. You couldn't see anything. Well, one of the passengers had missed her plane. She had to take a later one, and she missed the early ferry. So we couldn't pick her up. The captain decided he needed to sail on and continue off about 45 minutes through the fog to his deserted island for the afternoon. And so he decided to do that and send me back in the small boat to pick her up later on in the fog. Well, she came out to the island, North Haven, on the second ferry, and her whole trip out there was in utter fog, and darkness, basically, and mist. And then they dropped her off there. I hadn't arrived yet, and she was waiting by herself on this lonely dock in North Haven with no one around, just this heavy mist in the air. She was feeling very lonely, and she started, she said, to get a little scared, a little frightened. Until this man, this crewman, starts rowing in out of the fog, and he says, "Are you for the ship Nathaniel Bowditch?" And she said, "Why, yes, I am." And I said, with a smile, "Good, because I'm here to take you to her." Well, she'd gone all this way in the fog so far. Now she was going to get on a boat with a man to go 45 minutes through the fog in a little small boat to a boat she'd never seen before. But her fear, her fright, her being scared, was changed to a cheerful disposition and a calm confidence. Why? For one reason and one reason only. Because the man she was with knew the way, knew every detail of the journey that she was to make, even though she still didn't have the foggiest clue of what was out there. And I'll tell you, for us also, you may think you know the future, but you don't, at least in detail. You have plans, and God bless you. May your plans come to fulfillment. But none of us knows precisely what is awaiting us down the road of life. It's like going out into utter fog. It's in darkness. But our calm, our confidence in our life as we walk with the Lord comes from this and this only, that the man whom we are with knows the way and he knows every detail of that journey where he's going to lead us. And do you have confidence today that God is such a man? That God, the Lord, knows the way, he knows the path, he has planned for us to walk in if we would but follow him. So, now we get to that question that you seem to know. Does God have a plan specifically for your life? Now, if we ask that question, opinions are no good here. We're talking about things that cannot be known. Speculations cannot be made. Only the Bible can tell us the answer to this question. Let's take a look at what the Bible says. For example, we open up to the book of Jeremiah. And there we read, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now Jeremiah, before he was even born, did God have a specific plan for his life? Yes, he appointed him a prophet to the nations. Even before he was born, God knew him. All right, well, there's one example anyway. Let's take a look at Paul. Paul in Galatians chapter 1 says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son for me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood," etc. So what does this tell us? Before Paul was born, what? God set him aside, called him by his grace to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Did God have a specific plan for Paul? Answer is yes. All right, we go on to David. Now, David was just a ruddy youth. He was a handsome, comely, good-looking young guy, but he was yet a boy, more or less. Samuel went to anoint him and says he was ruddy and he had beautiful eyes. He was handsome. When he came in to see to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." This is who? This is a young boy who hasn't done anything, who doesn't know his future, but God had specific plans for this young man, a man after his own heart, and God knew already the plans he had for him to make him king. But you might say, okay, these are kings, these are special people, prophets. Well, how about an artist? Does God have such a plan there? Exodus 31, "The Lord said to Moses, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for every work of craft. Every craft. And behold, I've appointed another guy with him, Oholiab, and I have commanded you, given them ability and commanded you to make all that I've commanded you, the tent of meeting and the ark, etc." Okay? So we got a name, Bezalel. Okay, I was going to have you say it, but I'm not going to do that now. All right. God appointed this man, gave him abilities because of the plan that he had for him. How about one more? How about a girl? Does God deal with it? Girls in this way? Absolutely. We read in Esther chapter 4, beautiful girl here, Esther, it says, Mordecai, her uncle, says to her, "For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you've not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God gave Esther beauty as part of his plan for her, that she might be made queen and thereby save her people. Did God have a plan for Esther? For David? For Bezalel, or whatever his name was? For Jeremiah? For Paul? And why would you say that God has not a plan for you? Does God have a specific plan for you in mind as well? The answer is absolutely. There's nothing in the scriptures to say that he doesn't. And in fact, what we read in the scriptures in Jeremiah 29:11, God speaks to his people saying, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they're good plans. And we're all ultimately fitting into the story of Christ. Because all of history is about Jesus and his salvation. And God has a specific plan for you fitting into Jesus' story. Now I want to ask you another question. Can a person miss the plan of God for their life? Is that possible? If God is omnipotent, won't his plans be carried out? Well, he says to the people in Isaiah chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my counsel, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. Here are people who God planned to lead in a good path with good plans and good designs on what they do. Now, we'll go our own way, thank you. We have a better plan than yours, God. You've told us through the prophets to rely upon you, but that's not good enough. We don't buy that. We're going to follow after Pharaoh, and Egypt will deliver us. And God says, not a good plan. Wrong plan. Rebellious children. That will lead to your destruction. Follow me and my counsel. We see that same thing happening in Jeremiah's day, where God says, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I'll build it and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I'll repent of the good which I intended to do to it. Now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return, everyone, from his evil way and amend your ways and your doings. They say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans and will act everyone according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. So is it possible to miss God's plan for your life? Yeah, what do we learn in this passage? God makes plans. And his plans, since he's a good God, are to build you, to plant, to prosper us in Jesus and his ministry. And we also learn here that what does he ask of them is to listen, to follow, to obey. But sin, following your own plans, leads to death and destruction. We see that in the New Testament too. It says in Luke 7, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves. And so even today, if I'm witnessing to somebody, which I've done, at times I've said things like, you must follow Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And a lot of times the answer I get is the same. No, I'll follow my own plans. Thank you. Say, but those plans lead to destruction. But nevertheless, I'll follow my own plans. I say, but God's plans are good. So even today, we see the same kind of thing happening. But what's the Lord say in Psalm 146? He says, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no help. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day, his plans perish. But happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. When you get out into the fog on a boat, and you're going to a place you don't know, and you don't know the details of the future, isn't it nice to know that the man who is with you knows the way, and he'll lead you, whether you be rowing with him, whether you sit in the stern sheets and he carries you, whether he lets you take the hand at the tiller, that he is in command and he's going to take you where he wants to go and where you want to go. That gives us a good confidence as we walk with him. So, next question for you. How do we know God's plan for our life? How do we know what that is that we might follow it? Well, here we need to understand that a lot of people have a lot of ways of finding God's plan for their lives, and a lot of them are hazardous. For example, you can take people who want to flip a quarter. Consider casting lots. God has worked through these things in the past. Jonah, they're on a ship. They're in trouble. They say, who's the man? They cast lots. It points to Jonah. Then more or less, they flip the quarter. Even though that worked in that day because God's will can work through these kinds of means, I wouldn't recommend that. Flipping a quarter, casting a lot to find out what God's plan is for your life. Other people go to signs and visions and dreams, and they take it to God in prayer. And we want to take everything to God in prayer, right? But you know one of the difficulties or possible hazards there is that when people ask, what is your will for my life, they listen, and instead of seeking it in the Word, they just listen to what comes into their mind in prayer, and it can lead to some real problems. I knew a girl in Christ, a good Christian, years ago, and she wanted to follow God's plan for her life in every detail. She listened to whatever that inner voice said to her, and she's driving down the road one time, and she hears, take a left here. So she took a left here. Down a one-way street, the wrong way. Happily, there was no one there, and she did end up witnessing to somebody. But I wouldn't really recommend, you know, the accuracy of listening to what necessarily God says to you there. I've heard other people say that they're wondering who to marry, and God says this person in prayer, when in fact they're like, I'm not attracted to that person. I have nothing compatible with that person. I don't really care much for this person, but they marry anyway because they think it's being obedient. And it ends a lot of times in divorce. Is that God's plan? You know what Martin Luther said about finding God's plan for your life? He says, basically, if you're going to look for his plan, look for it in the Word of God, the written Word. This is where he's made his will known to you, what his plan for your life is. And if you look for God to speak to you outside of the Word of God, you're very likely to find the devil. You know, not to say God can't speak outside of the written Word, but this is the place where he speaks to us. And what does he tell you is his plan for your life? Very simply this, 1 John chapter 3, and this is the commandment, that you should believe in the Lord, in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. All right? That's God's plan for your life. You say, but I want all these specifics. I want all these details. I want him to tell me exactly what I'm going to do every step of the way. Do you know how far I would have gotten with this woman on the dock if that was her attitude? If she said, I'm not leaving this dock until you tell me every detail of this trip to that boat, two things would have happened. Number one, we'd never have left the dock because I'd be explaining it to her the whole time. Secondly, it destroy the element of trust and adventure. We've said already in weeks past, and I'll reiterate it here, God's plan for you is to walk each day with him. Each day in trust. Trusting him to lead you. And letting the future, although we do make plans, letting it remain in the fog. Let it be your calm and confidence to know that the God who is with you, who's going to lead you through your life, knows the way he has planned for you. He knows the plans. They're good for your welfare. They're to give you a future and a hope. Now, what does he say? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Take, for example, how many times has this been preached recently? Other churches. Tim Tebow. Okay? Here's a guy. Look, this was one of his BCS championship game in 2009. He paints John 3:16 under his eyes. All right? Because he's known for that verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, etc. Well, he was just serving the Lord with the talents that God gave him. And what did God lead him into recently in the Broncos-Steelers game in earlier this month? 29-23 overtime victory is he's not a very good passer. He threw for 316 yards, 316. He threw an average of 31.6 yards per pass, 316. And by the way, it says here that the John Oren Sports Business Journal reports that the final quarter television rating for the Broncos-Steelers game was, you guessed it, 31.6. What happened as a result of this is that millions of people on the internet looked up to find out what this passage, John 3:16, was. Did he plan that? Did God plan that? You know, he was just living his life seeking to shine for God, and God led him into something that was able to give a great ministry. I find that in my life all the time. I get out my plan for the day, I write it out, and God wants us to plan like that. But then, you know what? His plans are a lot better. I get all kinds of interruptions which end up being better than my plan. Beth said she was last Thursday night, we went on a date, and she was telling me about her day, and she said she got up. Her plan was to drive Naomi to school, eat nutritiously, do some housework. That was it. It's a good plan, right? Amen? That's great. But then she went, dropped off Naomi, met a friend of hers who was having a problem with her throat. She couldn't eat. So she went and took her to get her some electrolyte drink to replenish that, took her home, took care of her for the day, made a doctor's appointment, went with her to the doctor's, helped her there, got her set up, drove her back to her car, prayed with her, brought her to church, prayed with her here. At night, the friend called her and said, "Thank you so much. You're a friend deeper than I've ever had." And, you know, doing nutritional food and taking care of the house is a good plan. But God had a better plan, right? That's what happens so much in our lives. We might know the thoughts that we have, and sometimes God fulfills our plans. A lot of times he does. But what we want to be open to is that the man who is with us in the boat knows the way. He knows the details, and therefore you should have a cheerful confidence and a calm as you go through your life, knowing that he's going to lead you. As you simply do what? Seek to follow and obey his word, believing on the Lord Jesus, loving one another, and shining. Does that mean you shouldn't plan? No, God says, Proverbs 12, 20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan good have joy. It's good to sit there and say, how can I best serve the Lord? How can I take care of my family? That has joy. Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. When you're making plans, God wants you to ask your Christian friends, ask a pastor, ask wise people. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Psalm 20, may the Lord grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's great. But we got to remember one more. Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the Lord's purpose that will be established. And that really should be our joy. That should be our confidence. That when you get into this boat, leave the future in the fog. It's okay. You don't have to have a special revelation. Be a missionary to Tanzania. But maybe he'll say that. But leave it in the fog and know that the man who is with you knows the way, the Lord God. And he says in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, people were coming against the disciples. And he said, so in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men, said Gamaliel, and let them alone, the disciples. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it's of God, you'll not be able to overthrow them. Just like the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God. We can't be stopped. You should have that confidence as you walk into your future with God that he's going to give you the victory because his promise is in Christ, God always leads us in triumph. You're going to go out not in haste. You're not going to go out in flight. But the Lord God himself will go before you. And the Lord God himself will be your rear guard. And in Ephesians 2 it says he's prepared those good works for us to walk in ahead of time. So praise be to God for that. And this is his great plan, which I'm ending with. Acts chapter 2, and this is the best. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the promise, the forgiveness of sins through his name. That is God's plan. You want to know what God's plan is today? I'll tell you his plan, salvation. That you, having believed in his Son, who is delivered up according to God's plan, would have free forgiveness, justified freely, brought into God's family, adopted as children, brought into the boat, confidently rowing with your Father, your Lord Christ, as he's going to take you all the way home to the ship and to heaven. And he's made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. I love it when a plan comes together, don't you? God's got great plans for you. Let's rejoice in him as you go forward, not frightened but confident. And I'll conclude with Isaiah 25. O Lord, you are my God. I'll exalt thee. I'll praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Amen.